So here's the issue we'll contemplate this hour. Should the Wisconsin Constitution be changed to include victims' rights? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are going to talk with the co-author of the measure known as Marcy's Law about why he thinks Wisconsin should adopt this. And we will also talk later in the hour with a guest from the State Public Defender's Office who has some reservations about it. And we'll welcome your thoughts and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest. Very happy to have with us State Senator Van Wongard. Senator Wongard is a Republican senator from Racine, the chair of the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, a former police officer. He is the co-author of the bill known as Marcy's Law, which would add constitutional rights for crime victims to the state constitution. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks very much for being with us. Before we get into Marcy's Law, though, we thought we would ask you, since you are a former police officer, if you have any thoughts on this manhunt for Joseph Jacobowski of Janesville, who is accused of stealing several assault weapons from a gun store and mailing an anti-religious manifesto to President Donald Trump, and apparently threatening government institutions, including schools. The FBI is now involved in this. Federal agents around the country have joined more than 150 local, state, and federal officers for the search for him. What's going through your mind as this manhunt continues?
Well, it's always scary when we have an individual like this that all of a sudden, apparently snapped. And he's alleged to have done a burglary and stolen all kinds of firearms, which is not a good thing. But I think it's important to understand, too, that this one individual, when he decided to do this, apparently was identified right away because of things that were in place by the business that was actually selling those firearms. They identified him pretty quickly, which is a good thing. Now it's just catch them. That's always a challenge. It's always a challenge, too, when you have news media that kind of spreads this news a little bit faster than what it used to be spread. It's a good thing, but sometimes it's a bad thing because it gets people, scared because of the potential consequences. Never a good thing when you have something like this happen. I really think that our law enforcement is going to work hard to latch on to this individual. We had one of these down in Kenosha County, about a year ago, and this fellow eluded law enforcement for about a week and a half. That was during the summer, a year and a half ago, and I can't recall his name now, but this guy lived in the backwoods kind of thing. He lived in the fields because he was farming all the back routes in the fields. This guy, he eluded everybody, but they captured him, and thank God they captured him without any negative results. I'm praying that that's what happens with this. We have some pretty good law enforcement people that are working on it, so I'm confident we're going to get them.
Yeah, let's hope. So now, the main reason we asked you to join us, Illinois, North and South Dakota, Montana, and California have passed what is known as Marcy's Law. Other states are working on it as well. Why should Wisconsin follow suit?
Well, this goes back to, from the beginning of when victim rights were really seen as something that needed to be protected. 1980, I was a law enforcement officer with about 8 years of experience on the street, and you could tell that victims were not treated the same way as alleged offenders were. Offenders just had more abilities to be able to be in the system and be comfortable in the system as opposed to victims. They were just re-victimized so many times. And that's why I'm really proud to say that Wisconsin was a leader in this. So 1980 is when the Victim Bill of Rights became law. And in 1993, they felt it was important enough to proceed and put some of these things into these victim rights into our state constitution. And now we've identified, through the process here that we need to go just a little bit farther just to make sure that some of the individual rights that we have granted our citizens in Wisconsin by state statute, by the legislature doing it, codifying that and putting it into the Constitution, so that it's got equal footing with the rights that we give our offenders, our alleged bad guys. I mean, the bad guys have more rights than the victims, and it shouldn't be that way. It should be a level playing field, and victims should not be re-victimized. Victims should have the same voice, an equal voice, in the process so that the court is actually seeing the victim. So the victim has a face, too. And I saw this time and time again where the victims were in the process, they would be brought in the process to be late in the game, and which really isn't fair to the victim, and it really didn't give the court a good view of the whole process to what has occurred.
Let me just jump in, Senator Weingard. We're going to give you a call back just to see if we can clear up the phone line, which has, I always say they have little gremlins in the phone line that's making it fuzzy, and I want to be able to hear you as clearly as possible. So while we get Senator Weingard back on the line, let me remind you that you can call in with your thoughts and questions about Marcy's Law, a proposed constitutional amendment that would put victims' rights into the Wisconsin Constitution. Do you think this is a good idea or not? Do you have an experience you'd like to share that might illustrate what our guest is saying, that that offenders have more rights than the victims of crimes? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Coming up after 7:30, we will also welcome in a guest with a different perspective on this. We will welcome in the Deputy State Public Defender, Mike Tobin, who will express his reservations to the proposed amendment. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Let me see if we have our guest back. I hope so. Senator Weingard, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And that sounds so much better. That is great. All right.
Oh, good.
good. So let's, I was going to ask you, since a lot of the, you know, the Crime Victims Bill of Rights is already in state law, why do we have to put this into the Constitution?
Well, the difference happens when you get into the courtroom and the judge is weighing the weight of state law as opposed to our constitutional law. Constitutional law trumps state law. So the edge would always be given to the constitutional side of things. So by taking what we have in state law and bringing that into the constitutional side of things, it now gives a more even footing for the victim, so that the judge has to really look at weighing the facts from both sides, and a procedural thing or an intended extra value, I guess would be the way to put it, on one side or the other, really isn't going to be the issue. Now it's going to be the facts of the case that are going to be able to come through, and the going to have equal footing.
Tyler on Facebook says, innocent until proven guilty is one of the foundations of our legal system. It should be harder for the accuser than for the accused. I strongly disagree with this bill, mainly because the entire argument presented for its introduction is that the court system currently favors the defendant, and we need to balance it. Tyler says, wait a minute, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Well, none of that has changed. None of that has changed. The individual is still innocent until proven guilty. The only difference is that in this case, what it's going to do is that all of the evidence that a criminal investigation would have would still be available to the defense during, you know, that criminal proceeding, you know, currently in Wisconsin. This would just make sure that it's not going too far, and that the information that's pertinent to this criminal violation is going to be what's going to be discussed, and that one is not going to trump the other. Although the offender is still going to have the edge. I mean, they're still going to have to go through, and they're still going to have to prove the case. So it's not going to change any of that. And this is a little different than some other states that don't have anything in place. We do have this in place. This just brings it up to an equal footing.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will take your calls with your questions and your views on this proposed Mercy's Law, which would put some legal protections for victims of crimes into the state constitution. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are getting two different takes on a proposed constitutional amendment in Wisconsin that would put victims' rights in the Constitution. We are talking with Senator Van Wongard, who is telling us why he thinks we need Mercy's Law in the Wisconsin Constitution. Coming up, we will get a different perspective on this from the Deputy State Public Defender. So what do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Van Wongard is a Republican state senator from Racine, the chair of the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, a former police officer, and co-author of Mercy's Law, which would add constitutional rights for crime victims to the state constitution. Who is Mercy, Senator Wongard?
Well, Mercy was a young lady that was stalked by her, I believe, ex-boyfriend, and she was brutally murdered. And as a result, you know, the family had no involvement in the process with the offender. This offender was let out of situation where he had been apparently, you know, causing problems with her before. And It was just something like a week after her murder. I think it was Marcy's brother, Mr. Nichols. They were confronted by the accuser or the accused murderer in a grocery store. You know, after visiting, you know, her grave. I mean, these kinds of things just were never ever considered. So, and they had no knowledge that this individual had been let out, and that he was released on bail. And they were notified. There's no experience. Led Nicholas to become a leading victim rights advocate. You know, and the backer of this, because it's important that victims do have that ability to be notified when something does happen like this. And what's happening to the alleged person that has caused whatever the issue is.
Yeah. So what are some of the specific, without necessarily having to go into great depth, but what are some of the things that Wisconsin would put into our Constitution to protect victims' rights?
Well, this is the thing is, you know, the majority of these things are already in statute and are protections that are there under Statute 950. You know, being able to be present at hearings that the alleged offender is being brought for in front of the court, being able to be notified when they are being let out on bail, being able to be involved in the process at the bail hearing. As an example, they don't have a right to even be present during the process when they're going to determine if this individual is going to be let out on bail. I mean, I think the court needs to hear that. They need to see the victim. They need to see and hear from the victim what their fears are, not just that, you know, this person should be just released back into the community without having some exposure to the victim of the crime. These are things that I think are just pertinent rights that each individual should have. And this doesn't change. You know, like, we're not just adding things to the Constitution that aren't there. We're strengthening what is already there in the Constitution. We did a constitutional amendment for privacy protections back in 1993. What this would do is this would strengthen those provisions, and this would allow those protections to be codified in the Constitution so that they have equal footing. The state statute would now be brought up to the level of a constitutional protection, which would be equal to the constitutional protections that the offender has. The victim shouldn't have or be viewed as something less than the person that is the alleged offender. I mean, it puts everybody on an equal footing. It causes everybody to do their job, and it causes everybody to get the facts out in front of everybody, so that there's not a question as to what's pertinent to the investigation. It doesn't take away those offenders' rights. They're still innocent until proven guilty, and it just sets the parameters so that they're equal.
Yeah. Jeff in Madison emailed, victims' rights in the Constitution is a horrible idea. Trials are about due process. They are about making sure the government convicts only the guilty. Why do victims need constitutional protection? Protection from what? The government is not trying to do anything bad to them.
I can't believe that your listener brought that question forward. So victims don't and shouldn't enjoy the same protections to have all of the evidence heard and to be able to protect their privacy and be able to protect things that have absolutely nothing to do with whatever was perpetrated upon them. I mean, you got to think about what that person's asking. This is something where the victim's not asking to be victimized. They're not asking to continue to be victimized. They just want to be heard equally with the offender. And it doesn't stop the collection process of physical evidence. It doesn't stop the collection of evidence that would support the crime. The prosecutors and the defense attorneys still have the right to those things in discovery that are pertinent to the crime. So I think that the question here is, do we not want to have fairness in the process? This would assure that fairness in the process. Why should somebody who's perpetrated a crime on somebody else have the upper hand? They should have had the protections. And if somebody accused me of something, I would use everything that I possibly could to defend myself from whatever the accusation was. That's not going to stop. That individual's still going to have those abilities. You know, and as far as our attorneys having to do more work here, they should have been doing this from the beginning. This isn't about making it easy or easier for somebody to prosecute something or for somebody to defend it. It should create the process that everybody has those same protections. And even though we're attempting to make it even, the offender still has the presumption of innocence. That isn't taken away. That's the edge that the offender will always have in our laws. This just brings that individual victim up to the same level. The right to be heard, the right to not have your rights trampled as a victim. Remember, they're not, again, asking to be victimized.
Let me take a call from Joe in Eau Claire. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Yes,
I'm just calling. I'm involved in the justice system. It's a human system. And literally everything that the politician is proposing is already done. It doesn't do anything for anyone. Any district attorney who wants to have a bond hearing and have a victim be allowed to make a statement would be allowed to do so. This is so transparently political. Who would vote against something like this? It accomplishes nothing. Mucks up our Constitution. What would be the remedy if somebody's thing wasn't done? Some sort of fine for a district attorney who didn't allow a victim to speak or a judge? I mean, maybe we should put in the Constitution that everyone has to like puppies.
Well, all right. With that aside, he says that this is already being done already. Why do we need to put it into the Constitution?
But it's not necessarily being done. The problem here is that constitutional law trumps state law. Apparently that's something that he's not clear on. Constitutional law will trump that. The courts don't want to rule on something in the court that is and give standing to a state statute when they feel that they might be overturned in an appeal. And this is what the judges oftentimes look at. So what this would do is this would bring the level of expectation in the court process, in the courtroom, to that the judge is going to have to. He's going to have to consider both of them. He's not going to just, well, okay, it's a state law. Well, this is a constitutional law, so I'm going to err on the constitutional side of things because I don't want this to be brought up in appeal. And that has been what a lot of the talk has been with and why the decisions have been made the way they have been in some cases was because of the fact that, you know, from what we've heard and from what's been talked about, judges don't want to be reversed. They want to do things right. And I think this actually does force the courts to look at this from that respect. And, you know, you can always ask the court for the ability to have somebody come in and speak. That doesn't mean the court has to allow it. But the court's going to be more likely to allow it because it is now a constitutional right, not just a state law that lawmakers put into play. This is going to be something that's codified in our Constitution, so that protection is there. Our constituents here in the state of Wisconsin, the 5 million people at the time that this was done in 1993, that where they felt it was important enough to identify victims' rights, that's exactly what they were looking to fix, the same type of issue that we're dealing with right now. This is a paragraph with four lines in it. We're not, you know, making a complete stand-on-your-head change with constitutional law here. We're just making sure that those things that are in state law that allow a person to be able to be at each one of the hearings and to be heard on those issues and to protect their privacy for things and their right to not have to be deposed with an issue. They're still going to have to stand on the individual's testimony and what the victim brings forward, too. The victim shouldn't be guilty until proven innocent either.
I have to jump in, Senator Wongard. Thank you very much for being with us as this segment's time is over. Van Wongard, a Republican state senator from Racine, the chair of the Senate Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, and a former police officer, co-author of the proposed constitutional amendment known as Marcy's Law. It would add constitutional rights for crime victims into the state's constitution. We now will get another perspective on the so-called Marcy's Law. We welcome in Deputy State Public Defender Mike Tobin, who has some reservations about this. We will find out what and why, and we'll welcome more of your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Mike Tobin is the Deputy State Public Defender, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks very much for coming in. So, what's your reservation with adding victims' rights to the Constitution?
Victims' rights are already in the Constitution. There's a provision. It's Article 1, Section 9M of the Wisconsin Constitution. It's several lines long, and it already highlights, first off, the right to be treated with fairness, dignity, and respect for privacy, to a timely disposition of the case, the opportunity to attend court proceedings except when the court deems it necessary to exclude witnesses for reasons of fairness, reasonable protection throughout the process from the accused individual, opportunity to confer with the prosecution, opportunity to make a statement at disposition, restitution and compensation, information regarding the outcome of the case, and information regarding the release of the convicted defendant later on in the process. It includes some language now that states that nothing in that constitutional provision shall limit the rights of the accused, which gets to what the earlier guest was talking about, the presumption of innocence. The present proposal is to take out that language that says nothing shall limit the rights of the accused. The proposal is to strike that, delete that from the Constitution now, and so in a way put the rights of the victim not only on the same plane, but above the rights of someone who is accused but not yet convicted and presumed innocent. So it's really the reservation is not to have it in the Constitution, which it already is, but to have a three-page, detailed more what looks like a statute placed into Constitution.
Well, I'm confused because I saw a lot of objections saying, hey, this is already state law. We don't need to amend the Constitution to ensure this. That you're saying it's already a part of our Constitution.
It is. And in part, the specifics of it are more in statute. I guess overall, some of the controversy or questions about it are because we already have robust victim rights, both in the Constitution and in statute. If this is something else, we really haven't heard yet those specifics. For example, there's a provision that says that the rights are self-executing.
What does that mean?
Well, that's a good question. I think it means that the courts will define them rather than having to wait for the legislature to have more specifics for them.
Yeah.
Another provision says that victimization in the constitutional sense occurs or that status, those constitutional rights occur when victimization happens. That means when a crime occurs. It doesn't mean waiting. So in our judicial process, we really have three phases, which can blend together. But there's an investigative phase when there may be suspects or people of interest. Then there is formal judicial process when somebody is accused, but before there's been an adjudication beyond a reasonable doubt. Many cases settled through a plea agreement. Many others are dismissed. Some go to trial. And then when they reach that phase of a disposition, either a finding of guilty or a dismissal or a finding of not guilty, then either the person is convicted or they're set free because they're not convicted. But the constitutional provision seems to say that these rights, and it's kind of vague exactly how they'll be different from the rights that exist today, will take place, for example, when a police officer arrives at a scene. It could be a bar fight. There could be several people injured. There could be several people pointing fingers, accusing each other. And constitutional rights now, in a new sense, have attached to one or more of the victims in that situation.
We need to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Mike Tobin, the Deputy State Public Defender, about why he is concerned over this proposed constitutional amendment that would add more legal protections for victims of crimes into the state constitution. What do you think about this this Mercy's Law, which was introduced in Wisconsin last week? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Under a state Republican proposal, some legal protections for victims of crimes would be written into the state constitution and some new rights would be created. We talked with one of the sponsors of this proposed constitutional amendment, Senator Van Wongard, in our first half hour. He told us why he was sponsoring this so-called Marcy's Law. Now we are talking with Deputy State Public Defender Mike Tobin, who has concerns about this proposed amendment. And we welcome your thoughts and questions, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. So, Mike Tobin, in general, what we are hearing the supporters of this proposal say is that, hey, the accused have more rights than the victims of the crime, and we want to just make sure they're on a level playing field. What is your response to that?
Well, first off, I want to recognize this is a very emotional issue, and certainly, as your previous guest pointed out, nobody chooses to be a victim, and so that is a very traumatic event. And actually, within the public defender's office, we see often that a lot of our clients have been victimized in their past, too. Often, in fact, childhood trauma, events that may have happened to them as children, are things that haunt them throughout their life, and sometimes are criminogenic factors that may result in their problems later on. That said, in Wisconsin, we incarcerate, in the United States in general, we incarcerate a larger percentage of our population than any other developed country. And Wisconsin has a bad record in terms of disproportionate minority incarceration and in terms of total incarceration compared to some of our neighbors. So, yes, there are protections in the judicial process, but despite that, I don't necessarily accept that we're too easy or too light on people who commit crimes.
Yeah. Marcy's Law was named after, I believe it was a woman in California who was murdered by a stalker. Apparently her family, her brother in particular, was a big advocate for this because once the stalker who was released from prison after found guilty of this crime ran into them at the grocery store or something, and the family was outraged and upset that they weren't even notified that he was being let out, saying that they didn't have any rights. So don't we need that kind of that kind of protection in the state, in our Constitution?
We have that protection because we already have both in Constitution mm-hmm. and in statute the right to reasonable notification. Now, in the case of obviously a homicide and these tragic, most serious cases are the ones that rightfully get quite a bit of attention, that all the family members who can be identified, located, and notified are notified regarding when the case is going through court. Which means, and it would be very unlikely in this state that an individual would make bail if they were charged with an intentional homicide. The courts either deny bail or set a very high bail that certainly at least public defender clients are not able to make pending trial. And even later on, if there is a grant of parole or if somebody's released on extended supervision under the present bifurcated sentences, the victim's family would be notified of that, and they are notified.
So what is your concern should this proposed change in the state constitution happen? What is it that you fear?
Well, one concern, I think it's mainly the unknown, but actually one aspect that really has not been getting a lot of discussion is in the talk of putting the victim or alleged victim, and I'm going to use the word alleged a lot more than others because we do have innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. And even though it may not be commonplace, most people are truthful when they report a crime, people can make mistakes. So let's say we had a situation where there was a crime committed against me, but I think that a certain person committed it, that maybe I've identified or somebody that I thought I recognized. The police investigate. They think somebody else committed it, and they charge somebody else. So I'm a victim. Everybody agrees with that. But there's a disagreement between myself and the prosecutor as to who victimized me. Do I get my own attorney in the criminal case to point the finger at the person that I say did it? And then beyond that, there are many cases where the victim, as the matter goes on, maybe originally reported to the police, but now, because either of family dynamics or just not wanting to go through the process, doesn't want the criminal prosecution to continue. Presently, that's the prosecutor's call, not the victim's. If that's being changed, that is a major change and should be discussed as such. There are policy reasons to go either way on that, but that's not being discussed. Are we giving now the victim, in terms of these broader privacy rights, the right to say, I don't want to go public with this. Maybe I favor a restorative justice. Maybe I favor some type of civil settlement. Maybe the only way I can get monetary compensation is for a person, let's say a person with a high income, an entertainer, a politician, an athlete, a businessman. And there might be public reasons why we would want that person to have a different penalty. Maybe the crime was serious enough they should be incarcerated because other people are. So this issue can, you know, have some different outcomes, you know, in a variety of situations.
We have some callers. Let's go to Donna in Oshkosh. Hi, Donna.
Good morning. Very interesting. 20 years ago, my son and two other people were murdered in a domestic thing, and the perpetrator threatened to blow up the state hospital here in Oshkosh, kill the supervisors. He went to a 72-hour mental examination, and just before he killed these people, my son, he was bonded out of the jail, $200 bond, and then did his deed. So everything that should have protected the victim, and my son was there to protect her. That was why he was involved. He and another young man that worked with her were trying to protect her. So everything failed. Everything mm-hmm. failed. This man should never, ever have gotten out on bail again, because he had other bails that he... So the whole system failed. So however you're looking at this, certainly the victims in this case were not protected.
What a tragedy, Donna. So sorry for your loss. Now, again, we don't know every single detail here, but would somehow Marcy's Law in the Wisconsin Constitution, Mike Tobin, do anything that might have changed a situation like that? I mean, we're not talking about bail for the accused in this amendment, are we, or are we?
Well, first off, my heart also yeah. goes out to the caller for her loss. And these type of tragic situations, you know, unfortunately, do come up. And pretrial release is definitely a controversial area and a very tricky area. Wisconsin is actually in the forefront of trying to use what's called evidence-based or research-based decision-making at a lot of phases, actually at all phases of the justice system. This is driven by a statewide justice coordinating council. My boss, Kelly Thompson, the head public defender, serves on that. It's actually chaired by the head of state corrections and the Department of Justice. And use of some actuarial risk assessments are helping with those decisions, but they're not 100%. It's just like when those type of statistical models are used, whether it's for car insurance, for medical planning, et cetera, mistakes happen. So we don't know what the yeah. bail was for in the earlier case. I didn't get from her recitation that was on the murder charge, but that he'd been let out.
Yeah, it was not. It was not pretrial.
Probably on a
yeah.
less serious yeah. charge. Yeah. And we don't know if there had been signs, and unfortunately a small percentage of people who are released you know, may commit another crime, but it's very tragic.
Yeah. Jane from Wausau wants to know, will this have any help for a rape victim? And not bringing up her past history in regards to her getting raped, such as questions like, what were you wearing, or, you know, your sexual history. Do you know if the constitutional amendment would stop those sorts of questions from being asked?
Well, first, a lot of those questions cannot be asked right now. Wisconsin, like most states, if not all, already have what's called a rape shield law. And most inquiry regarding past sexual history is prohibited. The defendant has to make a strong showing of why that would be relevant, for example, to an issue of consent if it's a history between the same parties, something like that. But in general, other relationships that were consensual wouldn't go to that. Also, many sexual assault cases are based on the age of the alleged victim with the child, and it's a per se crime, so there wouldn't even be issues of consent in those charges. Certainly, privacy is an issue that's mentioned in this proposal. Whether there would be any changes going beyond that to the issues where the defense believes that there is something that they need to investigate having to do with the credibility or believability of the alleged victim. And again, alleged. Many of these cases are a he said, she said, and until the trial has taken place, it's not really resolved, you know, who was truthful and who wasn't.
We have just less than a minute. Briefly, a caller, Nate, says that this proposal would mean the victim would have a right to not testify. Is that how you read this?
That's an issue that I raised as a possible interpretation. It is not explicitly stated there. It would be an interpretation. I certainly could see victims bringing that issue under the constitutional provision and saying that it had been expanded and that they, you know, should not be forced to cooperate. And frankly, that's a difficult situation for a prosecutor to be in and an alleged victim because they it may be because they're afraid, you know, and maybe they're getting calls from the accused or his or her family that are making them less, you know, less motivated or less willing to testify. But it may be because they've had second thoughts, or perhaps they were not entirely truthful. Perhaps they were impaired by drugs or alcohol at the time of the incident. And keep in mind also, we have situations where more than one person is arrested in a mutual fight or situation, and then they both would have the rights as the victim and also would face the accusations at the same time.
Wow. Well, we'll have to do more on this as it moves through the state legislature. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Mike Tobin, Deputy State Public Defender. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.